Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are continuing our series with members of the Hastings Ministerial Association, and we have this month rotating in Pastor Mark Miller. He is with Resurrection Church. We're going to talk about that. You're going through a little rebranding. Resurrection Church is located right on 15th Street. It also has formerly been known as United Methodist Church, so I can't wait to hear more about that. But first of all, we want to welcome you to KDWA. Thanks for coming in today.
That's good to be here, Mo.
I bet it is good to be in person, because you were telling me before we went off or on the air that you actually have been at Resurrection Church for 2 years. But those have been kind of a wacky 2 years.
Yes, they have. I felt like I was just getting to know people, had a few months to get adjusted and people to get adjusted to me. And then we went into all the COVID shutdowns and then partially open and things change and social distancing and all those kinds of things we've all been through for the past 2 years. So it's been not how I expected it, but God has been in the midst of all of it, so we've been able to continue to do ministry and even find some new ways. So,
you know, I think that is one of the blessings that's come out of this, is that there are new ways of doing things in every quote-unquote industry or business, and certainly the church has found new ways of reaching out to people that you might not have realized that you could have. I mean, you probably had people watching your worship services from around the world.
Well, we have, and prior to the COVID shutdowns and things, we recorded our services and had them available on our website, but we weren't live streaming, and we weren't consciously thinking that we would be reaching people beyond the folks in the Hastings area. And now we have people who worship with us literally from across the world, and some of those have just been curious, or they've got connected with the sermon topic or something they've seen. And other people have really found a home online, and that I didn't expect. I didn't expect to be in communication with people from far away. There was one person in northern Minnesota. Their church had closed permanently. They were without a church. They were in the midst of COVID, wondering where to turn, and somehow got connected and became a regular worshiper online and contributor and communicating back and forth, whether it be prayers or pastoral counseling, things like that. So I didn't expect that. Not too many people went into ministry to be TV preachers, so to speak. And now we all are, in at least a vast majority of churches are online now, and we're able to minister to people in ways that we really didn't expect.
That's a very, very big blessing that's come out of that, I would assume. So, Pastor Mark, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where were you before you came to Hastings? And then I want to get to know just you as a person. Where did you grow up and all that?
Sure. Well, I grew up in Eagan.
What was Eagan like when you grew up?
Well, Eagan...
not that you're old, because you're not old. You're probably younger than me. But it was... I've noticed the big change in Eagan during my lifetime.
So Eagan was a township. My parents in the 50s, when they built their house, was the first little development in Eagan. And it was truly just a rural township. I could walk out my door and be into farm fields and that was all of town, and of course it changed so much.
Do you remember the horse ranch with the guy that looked like John Wayne owned it?
Mm-hmm.
What was that called? I can't think, but...
I think Diamond Tea?
Diamond Tea, I think, yes. That was kind of a rite of passage. You either went there on a field trip, or we used to go there in the summertime every once in a while, and that guy did look like John Wayne. That was kind of weird. Diamond Tea, yes, and then yeah. the flower garden right on, is it... Pilot Knob, maybe? That big flower garden, that was what I remember. And I remember also Eagan is where we went to take our driver's test if we wanted to go on a closed course. But really, I mean, it is completely changed.
It has. And my mother still lives there in the house that...
The farmhouse?
No, it was... Oh. They were in a... the first development in Cedar Grove. And so they have just been there a long time. And there were farmhouses all around. I gardened, rented some land from a farmer, and I would just ride my bike there and garden and all those kinds of things. The places of my memories and the woods and the fields that I roamed around in, of course, they're all gone, and it's houses, so it's a little bit different.
But even the golf course, weren't you shocked at how quickly the houses went up?
The whole town developed much more quickly, and of course, by that time, a large part of the development happened after I already graduated from high school and went to Burnsville, because Eagan had no high school or anything at those times. And so it's always interesting to remember and look back, but for my kids, they go, I don't know what you're talking about, Dad, because it was never anything other than the city of Eagan.
Exactly. What was your next step then after you graduated from high school?
Well, I went on to college at Hamline and then to seminary at Duke in North Carolina.
And how did you know that you wanted to be a pastor?
Well, it was really in high school that I first felt a sense of calling.
What does that feel like?
Well, you know, everybody kind of considers when they're growing up, what is it that I should do? What's my life about? There were some pretty significant events where I felt God saying to me, you're mine. Whatever you're doing in your life, you're mine. So I went off to college, and I was going to be involved in computers. My dad was a computer analyst, and I was good at math. So that was, I figured what I'd be doing. But being the Lord's, I also took Bible classes. And it was really a rabbi who finally got me to turn course away from my computer direction.
Okay, what? Let's hear more about that.
Well, he was...
Isn't God funny sometimes?
He was teaching a course in the Old Testament there.
And at Hamline.
At Hamline.
Okay.
And I took the course, and I was fascinated by it, and I wanted to learn more about kind of the Jewish roots of our faith. And so I asked him if I could actually do my internship that I needed to graduate and to get a religion major as well as a math major, if I could do my internship at his synagogue, if he'd accept a Christian to kind of come alongside and learn from the inside. And in our conversation, he said, I would love to do this. Yeah, I would really look forward to working with you. But I think what you really need to figure out is whether God's calling you to be a pastor. So that kind of blew my internship plan and got my head spinning. And I went to the office that coordinated those internships. And I said, my internship has fallen through. Do you have anything in a church? And they said, yeah, we have a church is looking for somebody to run a very large confirmation program. They have 30-some students in it. They want somebody to teach them the faith. And I said, okay, what church is it? And it happened to be my home church.
Okay, and what?
So I went on staff there, and in sharing the faith with those young people, it just became more and more clear that that's what I was to do with my life. And so dropped the math major, finished up with a religion major, and then entered seminary at Duke and started serving in churches. So that's kind of the story.
So where have you been besides Resurrection Church?
Well, when I was a student, I was down in a couple of rural churches in North Carolina. And then when I came back, I'd been on the Iron Range at Chisholm and Buell, been down and further down the river at La Crescent in Dakota, and been in Coon Rapids. And then prior to coming here, I was what's called a district superintendent. So I was responsible for 79 churches in northern and western Minnesota as kind of the pastor to the pastors and assistant to the churches. Kind of, it's a step between the bishop and the local churches.
So what is it like now to be a pastor again?
Well, it's fantastic in a lot of ways. In the previous role, you're with people all the time. I might be in as many as 5 different worship services on a Sunday, maybe 4 different churches out of that bunch.
Were you working or observing?
So part of it's observing, part of it's meeting with people in the congregation and with the pastor, trying to assist them and help them. And that pretty much, I would drive many cases 1,000 miles a week around the territory and be in different churches every single day. So I met literally thousands of people, but The relationships are very deep. Yeah, they're very shallow in that.
They're just surface.
I would meet them, work with them, help them through something, and then maybe I would see them 6 months later or a year later. How are things going? That kind of thing. Here you get to be in people's lives. The joyful times with marriages and births and things like that, and people coming to faith. And then the hard times too, when people are struggling, and whether that be in the church or people in the community, because there are people that are hurting in various ways. They don't know where exactly to find help, but often God leads them into contact with the church, with the pastor. And so it's not just the congregation, but it's people in the community. So that's so rewarding. Not that the other kind of ministry work isn't rewarding too, because helping churches to flourish has its own joy, but not the same as walking with people through all the things of life.
I know that you mentioned you would like to talk about the fact that you think you're going to move forward with the name Resurrection Church.
Well, we have been Resurrection for a number of years before I came.
Yes.
But with COVID and all of that, what says Resurrection on our church is some banners and things covering up our old sign that said Hastings United Methodist Church. It's not that we're ceasing to be United Methodist, but it gets to be quite a mouthful if you say Resurrection United Methodist Church every time you try to communicate. And so we're really trying to focus on our brand. Resurrection Church is actually the long form, and the short church, the short version is Res, R-E-Z. So when we get our new sign up here shortly, it'll say Res, and then underneath Resurrection Church, a way of helping to be a little more clear. When your name is the name of the city, people didn't even know that we were Hastings United Methodist Church, because United Methodist is the denomination. And so we often get called United. Oh, it's going to be at the United Church. No, that it's United Methodist is a denomination.
I see what you're saying.
But our name was Hastings United Methodist, and now it's Resurrection.
So tell me about the name Resurrection. What does it mean to you and your congregation?
Well, I think it's really the hope that we have in Christ. Our whole purpose for being is, you know, part of our understanding is that every Sunday when we gather is a little Easter. It's every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection. And it may not be what I'm preaching on, or it may not be obvious to folks, but every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection, both Christ's resurrection and the hope that we have of resurrection and eternal life of the Lord. So it just seems fitting to have that as a part of the name. There's a lot of other good names too, but that's the one that we've chosen.
So you are still part of the United Methodist Church?
Yes, we are.
And when you were working as your superintendent role, were those all Methodist churches?
Well, they were all connected in some way to the United Methodist Church. So I have direct supervisory responsibility for United Methodist churches, but in the rural areas and in small towns scattered across northern and western Minnesota and even into the Dakotas, there's a lot of cooperative work. So maybe it's a Methodist church and a Presbyterian church that share a pastor. So then I worked heavily with the Presbyterian church. In one case, way up in northwestern Minnesota, we had a Lutheran pastor serving a Methodist church and a Presbyterian church. So then I worked closely with Lutherans, with Presbyterians, with Baptists, with others. Some churches were formally joined. There's actually a United Methodist Presbyterian Church that combined years ago
into one.
Well, they have experienced all the ups and downs that life in a small town on the prairie has, but it's not related to the fact that they were still are this combination. Most people don't know where they've come from, or it's been a number of years, so a lot of that's sort of gone by the wayside. All they know is that we're part of this church, and this is our faith home. So it's been it was really a lot of fun. We had the first, when the Moravian Church and the United Methodist Church officially agreed that we could share pastors, we had on my district the first Moravian pastor and Moravian Church sharing with the United Methodist Church. And so it's a little bit like Hastings in some way, because in Hastings, with the ministerial, we have a very active ministerial, and we have churches of all different varieties, but they really work to support one another and to support the community. I have not seen the kind of friction or the competitive spirit of, you have to come to our church because it's the only one and this one's no good. I've seen that in a lot of communities, and it's not very apparent in Hastings.
It's wonderful. I think that the ministerial does a lot for the community because they want the community as a whole to succeed, and they know that faith is a big part of that. Mm-hmm. Pastor Mark, if people would like to come to Res for worship, when can they do that, please?
So we have two services. One's at 8:30 and one's at 10 o'clock. At least that's what we currently have. It's changed a lot in the past couple of years, but that's what we are. And those are in person and also online on Facebook or also on YouTube, and you can go to our website as well. But the 8:30 service is more traditional music. It's piano led by the incomparable Craig Wozner and other vocalists and things. And then the 10 o'clock service is band led, contemporary type music led by Seth Johnson. So whatever kind of connects with you and helps you to connect with God, the message is the same. At both ones, or at least it's supposed to be the same, but with a human being preaching it, never comes out the same twice.
We want to thank our guest today, Pastor Mark Miller. He is the pastor of Resurrection United Methodist Church in Hastings, informally known as Res. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.